Pastor Chris Starr just spoke with you about traits of a soldier. He is our pastor at Mount Zion Baptist Church at Brogue, Pennsylvania. Most of you know him. Some of you may not know him. He's been our pastor for around 5 years. He was our youth pastor for around 14 years prior to that at our church. You know, God has brought together some men to speak to you at camp this week. Pastor Ross and Pastor Chris, and we've got another split session speaker Thursday morning. So this morning and Thursday morning, we have other special speakers for you. And they have been in prayer and seeking the Lord's will of what God wants them to bring to you. Pastor Chris is a passionate preacher. He lives by the book. He hears from God. I believe that. I've watched him very closely for a couple years now and for many other years. He has three teenagers of his own. He knows where you are at. He knows. I'm privileged to call him my pastor, my fellow worker in the Lord, and my friend. Now you take your Bibles and you listen intently to what God has for you, Pastor Chris Starr. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hendricks. One of the things God's given me is great friends. I have great friends here today in our church and outside of our church. One of the blessings of camp is to reacquaint with good friends. Brother Ross and Brother Dunbar, Brother Renshaw, and many of the adults that are here that I see get to see every year at camp. And young people, you'll be blessed if you choose good friends and if you be a good friend. The way that you get good friends is you be a good friend. And we thank the Lord for friendship, and I have the privilege of working with Brother Hendricks, and it is a privilege. I love him dearly, and he is a co-laborer and very like-minded to me and where we want to see God do things and the direction we want to lead in our church. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 12. In January of 2017, about 17 months ago, there were two things that came up in our church and two ladies of our church that hit our church very hard. In fact, Elizabeth Wachowiak is sitting over to my right, and Alyssa Lyman, I don't know if she's in the building here or not, but Sammy certainly is. Where's Sammy at? Sammy's right here. Both Elizabeth and Sammy's families were touched and hit with something that they did not expect. In the beginning of that month, I preached a message that would kick off a theme for our church entitled Launch Out into the Deep. The deep sometimes is unknown water. It's places you haven't been before. Both of those families, the Lyman family and the Wachowiak family, at that point in which they heard that message and some messages around that theme, had no idea what the deep would be in 2017. Both of their mothers, Sammy's mother and Elizabeth's mother, were diagnosed with two different kinds of cancer. One was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, colon cancer, and one was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. Obviously, it brought great shock to their families. Me and my wife were at their homes and prayed with them as they sat there almost stunned. And really stared death in the face, not knowing if the year would end with either one of those ladies remaining alive with that stage of cancer. You know, cancer is an interesting thing. My father's been diagnosed with cancer and has gone through all kinds of treatments, and today is cancer-free, but that's no guarantee for tomorrow or a year from now. Cancer is an internal thing. And there are certain forms of cancer that are known as the silent killers. That is, it's very hard to detect those type of cancers. Pancreatic cancer is one of those. Ovarian cancer is another one of those. In which it's very hard to detect and sometimes undetectable until it's too late. They're known as the silent killers. There's another silent killer known as high blood pressure. We know the result of that is a heart attack. But many times high blood pressure is not easily detectable, and all of a sudden somebody drops dead of a heart attack. There are silent killers, physically speaking. I'm happy to announce to you today that in both of those families, God has done some miraculous things. And Brother Ross was talking about a miracle last night. And you know what? We leaned on the Word of God and we leaned on the Spirit of God, and these families continue to exalt Christ through their testimony and through their faith and through their faithfulness to God. And you know what has happened? They have come out of it the better. They still struggle physically, but God has miraculously extended their lives. And the silent killer has been dealt with and continues to be dealt with in their lives. They're on treatments, they're on diets, they're on supplements, they're all kinds of things that they're doing to address what is within them. But watch this. If they would have done nothing, the silent killer would have taken them. It would have taken their lives. This morning I want to preach a message entitled "The Silent Killer for the Christian." The silent killer for the Christian. This is not necessarily something that you can always see. Although if it's not dealt with, the symptoms will begin to affect you outwardly and physically. It will affect your countenance. It will affect and begin to affect every area of your life if you don't deal with the silent killer. I want to preach on it this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you make this commitment to the Lord? Lord, if you deal with me about the silent killer, I will submit myself to your cure. If you deal with me this morning about the silent killer, then I will submit myself to the cure found in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a time around the Word of God. Lord, we have asked for miracles already. Lord, these young people have even prayed together for miracles. Lord, could it be this morning that you want to do a miracle of dealing with the silent killer spiritually in a Christian's life, in a young person's life, in an adult's life, in a staff member's life this morning? God, I pray the power of your word will be quick. Lord, I pray that it will pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I pray, Lord, that the Word will be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and you will give clarity and understanding by your Spirit. Lord, may the mirror of the Word of God show us, Lord, the silent killer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The silent killer this morning is the sin of bitterness. Bitterness springs up, the Bible says. And I want to give you five truths if you're taking notes this morning about bitterness. Write this down. Number one, the causes of bitterness. The causes of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15, the Bible clearly gives us a verse that deals with this. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, the Bible says, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Notice the first two words the Bible says, looking diligently. One of the things that you must keep your eye on in your own spiritual life is you must keep your eye on the fact, could there be a bitterness, a silent killer that is springing up within me? Years ago, I was working out in a landscaping job and we were cutting up a tree. We had sawed the tree down and we were beginning to split the wood. I had a hatchet in my hand that was dull. It went down, I brought it up and brought it down to split the piece of wood. It slipped off the piece of wood, came down and went through my shoe. That hatchet went right through the middle of my foot. And I watched as the blood began to spring up through the shoe. I quickly put my hand down to stop it, realized it was a pretty bad thing, and watched as it continued to spring up and spring up and spring up, and that blood began to grow in the amount that was coming outside of the shoe. Until I dealt with that blood and got something on it and got pressure on it, it was going to continue to spring up. Hear me this morning. Bitterness is not a one-time thing that you deal with. According to the Scriptures, there are many opportunities in which it will spring up in your heart, and it will do it over and over and over again. Beware, look diligently, hey, keep an eye on this and check your heart out regularly on this front, because bitterness is a repetitive springing up that takes place in the believer's life. Look diligently, there are all kinds of things that happen in our lives that create an opportunity for bitterness to spring up. There are things that happen that are out of control in our lives, that are out of our control. That is, you don't have any control over some situations and some things that happen to you. There are all kinds of causes. You may be bitter because you have seen the anger of your parent demonstrated toward you. You know, when a parent gets angry, and all of us parents get angry, no parent's a perfect parent. Parents deal with anger. And when that anger is leashed out on you, or it's directed at you, it is an opportunity, a dangerous opportunity, for bitterness to spring up in your life at your parent. You may be bitter because a parent has left you. Maybe you're in a home of a single parent, and daddy left, or mommy left, and nobody understands why. And you don't understand why. But it's an occasion whereby bitterness could spring up in you. Young people, bitterness is harbored hurt that we don't deal with in a biblical manner. Now, question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I ask this question, how many of you have been hurt in your life by someone? I believe that most of you would raise your hand. Because hurts are a part of life. I don't say that in a mean way today. I don't say that in an insensitive way. I don't like to hurt people. And I don't like to see people hurt. But the truth of the matter is, I hurt people. And people hurt me. And I see people hurt. It comes in life. It's part of life. But hear me closely this morning and listen closely, because I think what I'm going to share with you can be of great help as I preach this message. There is a way to respond to hurt in your life. And if you can grab onto those principles at the end of this message, you can avoid the root of bitterness. There are all kinds of things that can pop up that can create opportunities for bitterness. Maybe you're bitter because you feel like your parents are on you all the time. Maybe you're bitter at your mom and dad because they treat you different than the other siblings in your home, or you feel they treat you different. You may be bitter because mom or dad won't give you what you want. You may feel like life's not fair. Man, I wish I lived in so-and-so's home. They seem to be able to do so much more than what I get to do. You may be bitter at mom and dad because they force you to go to church and you don't want to go to church. You may be bitter at your parents' reproof because they took something away or they gave you a punishment that you think is more harsh than what you deserved. Does the silent killer reside in you this morning? You know, those ladies had no idea. Neither one of those ladies had any idea that the silent killer was in their body until they got diagnosed. And may I say this morning, as I preach this message, the Bible diagnoses things really well. And you need to take personal evaluation. You need to look diligently this morning. Every young person here, every adult here, needs to look diligently. Is there something springing up that is called bitterness? There are other causes of bitterness. I've dealt with young people that have been physically or sexually abused. That's an opportunity for bitterness. It's a real hurt in life. I'm not minimizing the hurt today. But I want you to understand there's a biblical response and there's an unbiblical response to every hurt in life. And the unbiblical response is that you would hold on to that hurt, that instead of releasing it to God and understanding God's got a grand plan, a much bigger picture than what you can see, in your individual hurt, you grab onto it and you hold on to it, and it affects your perspective of that individual, and it affects your perspective of life. And hear me this morning, all bitterness is not really aimed at an individual. Ultimately, it is aimed at God. It says, God, you don't know what you're doing in my life. It says, God, you're not fair to me. God, I don't deserve this. Oh, you will not come out. A bitter person will not necessarily come out and say those words. But ultimately, all bitterness is at God. It fails to see the goodness and the grace of God in your life. It tints your glasses or your eyesight. It puts sunglasses in your spiritual life that looks at God in a negative way because of the hurt that you've experienced in your life. Bitterness forms when a friend says something that hurts you or makes fun of you. By the way, young people, may I remind you, words hurt. The old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is not a true adage. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. That means you have a chance to breathe life to people, or you have a chance to bring death. That is, you have a chance to wound them greatly with your words. And maybe you have been wounded by words. And it rings in your mind. It comes back. It springs up. If I say a certain name of an individual, negative connotations immediately come to your mind. Somebody that you don't want to talk to. Somebody that you don't want to see. Somebody that you have very ill feelings towards inside. That is a sign of bitterness. It could be you're bitter at your youth pastor or pastor for correcting or reproving you. Young people, every time that you're reproved, every time that somebody rebukes you, every time that they put their relationship on the line with you, knowing that I'm going to go to this person, I love this person, I want to help them with something, but I also understand that if I reprove them and they don't receive it well, my relationship with them is at stake. Listen, somebody that reproves you is somebody that loves you. But I want you to understand that every time you face a reproof, whether it's from a parent or a teacher or a pastor, bitterness is on the line. How you respond to that reproof is of great importance to the future of your spiritual life. I've watched young people be reproved, and it set them off in the wrong direction. Maybe the reprover didn't do it all right. The reprover doesn't always do it all right. But listen to me this morning. Write this down if you're taking notes. There is never a situation in your life where you have a right to be bitter. No matter what hurt comes into your life, you or I never have a right to be bitter. The causes of bitterness. You may be bitter because someone made the team and you didn't. You may be bitter because somebody was asked to do something in the church that you would have liked to do, and you weren't asked. Write this down. There are two great causes or opportunities for bitterness. One is when you feel rejected, and one is when you are reproved. When either one of those two things come into your life, you have to understand it is prime time opportunity for bitterness to spring up. Rejection or rebuke. When either one of those you are facing in your life, you need to look diligently. You need to say, whoa, I know what can happen here. I can't allow my heart to go into that direction. I've got to shield my heart. I've got to protect myself with the Lord. I've got to dwell on the goodness and the grace of God in my life, because right at this point is an impact point in my life. Bitterness could spring up and it could trouble me and destroy me. Bitterness springs up where jealousy is present. Young ladies, I've worked with young ladies for years. Young ladies get jealous about other young ladies. They get jealous about their looks. They get jealous about their friends. They get jealous about their talents and their gifts. And where jealousy resides, bitterness is its twin brother. It will come along with it. I ask you the question this morning as I'm preaching on the causes. Is the silent killer working beneath the surface, internally, in your heart? I want you to look at the clues of bitterness. I want to take you to the courtroom this morning. In a courtroom, a lawyer presents evidence of something. The judge has to make the call as to whether that evidence is valid or not. You're the judge this morning. The Bible's the evidence. Let me bring Exhibit A into the courtroom this morning. What are clues that you might have bitterness? One of the clues is bitterness reveals itself in negativity and a critical attitude. If you are negative, if you are critical, if everything about your life is wrong and bad, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, not one time a month, but you're waking up on the wrong side of the bed regularly. That is, you're looking through life and you're looking at people through negative lenses. You can't speak a positive word about someone. You can only speak negative words. Hear me. It's a clue that there is bitterness that's springing up in your life. It's a strong clue that something's not right down here, and if the problem is a root that is growing. It's called the root of bitterness, Exhibit B. It reveals itself through pride and rights. Here's how a bitter person thinks. Well, they did this. I have the right. Bitterness wants to take revenge. Bitterness wants to get back at. Bitterness says, listen, preacher, if you knew what they did to me, you would understand I have the right to feel the way that I want to feel. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a clue. It's a clue that something's wrong inside. It's a clue that the root is there. Because the root deceives you into thinking that you have the right to treat the person the way you treat them because of what happened. Let me bring Exhibit C into the courtroom this morning. Bitterness is revealed when a name is mentioned and your mind immediately runs to negative thoughts or something that took place between you and that individual. And you allow your mind to park there. And you allow it to fester. And you allow it to grow. And you kind of enjoy thinking about it. And as you think about it, you get more angry. You get more troubled in your spirit. Exhibit C reveals that there's a bitterness problem. Bitterness reveals itself in gossip about someone else. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking, be put away from you. You know what tag teams with bitterness? You won't keep it dormant in your life. You know what tag teams with it? Gossip. Slander. Where you speak falsely about someone else. To make yourself look good. To rip that person down that has hurt you. Evil speaking takes place. You have no problem talking about your parents to somebody else, another friend. Boy, I wish my mom wasn't like this. Boy, I wish my mom was like your mom. You know what my mom said to me the other day? She had no right to even say this to me. Clue, Exhibit C, Exhibit D, bitterness reveals itself in gossip. Exhibit E, you have outbursts of anger. Let all bitterness and anger and malice and evil speaking be put away from you. You know, an angry person is a bitter person. You have outbursts of anger. You just go off in your home. Man, what happened? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? How'd that happen? You're a volcano in a matter of seconds. Maybe you don't verbalize it, but you certainly portray it. Roll your eyes at mom or dad. Stomp off into your room. Somebody asks you a question in your home, you don't even give a response. Ugh. You're angry. Let me say, it's an exhibit of evidence that the Bible gives us that there's a bitterness problem. And it's inside. And hear me, teenager. It's a silent killer. It is zapping the spiritual energy out of your life. It is eating away at you. Exhibit F, you become suspicious of others. You think that they are thinking evil of you all the time. Instead of thinking he didn't mean anything by that, or you think positive, I've done something like that myself 1,000 times. Or he's just having a bad day and give him the benefit of the doubt. Instead, you're interpreting motives. You're looking at every little thing all the time. In fact, you're looking at it, looking to make a critical comment. You're looking at it, that somebody is judging you, or somebody is after you, or somebody that doesn't like you, or they hate me. Listen, if those are the kinds of thoughts that you're dealing with in your heart, listen to the exhibit this morning. You've got a problem with bitterness. The silent killer resides inside of you. And young person, it can be dealt with. There's hope for you this morning. But what's tough for a bitter person is this: to recognize the silent killer. To admit that it's there. You know, when a cancer patient first gets diagnosed, what? It can't be me. I don't have any symptoms. You're saying I have cancer? Almost they go through all the stages of grieving. They almost go through a stage of denial sometimes. And the Christian that has the silent killer in them often goes through the stage of denial. Often others can see it. But the person that has it can't see it. By the way, adults, this isn't just a young person problem. Adults live with the silent killer. There's disrespect. There's you make mountains out of molehills. Everything's a mountain. Everything's big in your life. You treat a pinprick as though it were a knife. That's a bitter person. A bitter person responds in that way. A bitter person responds in disrespect towards authority. Contempt for a person. Can't hardly look an authority in the eye when you're bitter. And can I give you another twin brother of bitterness? Rebellion. Rebellion either precedes it, comes before it, or it comes after it. I want you to think about the life of Cain. What happened with Cain? Cain offered a sacrifice to God that he knew would not please the Lord. And it was rejected, was it not? Now, what came after that? Who did he get bitter at? Abel, but in reality he was bitter towards God. Where did that bitterness lead with Abel? Murder. Rebellion came, and what followed it was bitterness. Pastors, hear me well this morning. You think on this. I'm not sure there's a case of rebellion where there's not bitterness. I believe that every time there's a rebellious heart, there's a bitter heart somewhere. You will find these two tied together. They are twins. And young person, a rebellious heart says this, hear me and hear me well this morning. It says, I will reserve the right to make the final decisions in my life. Your parents lay down rules. A bitter and a rebellious person will find a way around the rules. They will find to go around them. They will find to go under them. They will find to sneak around secretly behind them. They will live in rebellion. a rebellion person when the pastor announces the standard, when the pastor announces, hey, we're going to do it this way, hey, we're asking that you would follow in this way. A rebellious person always butts up against all of that. They say, I'm reserving the right to make the final decision. Let me say it another way. You're not going to tell me what to do. And if you have any of that kind of thinking going on in your heart, let me tell you, it is an exhibit in court that there's a problem, and it's linked to what? The silent killer, which is what? Bitterness. The clues. I want you to look at the control of bitterness as we move quickly this morning. The control of bitterness. Verse number 15 of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There are a couple of things here that come to my attention. One is the word root. Anything that has a root has the potential to grow and to dominate. In my garden, I have some plants. I have some pepper plants, and I have some bean plants, and I have some sweet potato plants and some potatoes and some lettuce and all kinds of different things. But there are a couple of plants that I have to plant, and I have to plant them way far apart from each other. Things like zucchini, things like watermelon, things like cucumbers. Because when I plant them, once the root takes place, what happens? They spread, don't they? And they spread in all different directions, and they can take over. Bitterness is not a root that grows straight up. Bitterness is something that takes over. It controls an individual. It corrodes like an acid. It pollutes and eats away your soul. If I emptied the water bottle this morning and I poured in some bleach and filled it, and we had a competition, I said, who will drink the bottle of bleach? You going to volunteer, Mrs. Gonzalez? No. Anybody going to volunteer? No. You know what bleach is? Bleach is a poison. And you put it in your system, and it's going to corrode. It's going to eat away, and you're not going to do well for very long. Because it's poison in your system. Now watch this, young person. The power of bitterness is this. It is a poison. The Bible says Paul cast his eyes on Simon in the book of Acts. And he said this, you are in the gall of bitterness. You know what the word gall means? It means poison. It means if you're living with a silent killer this morning, can I put a vivid picture to it? You're living with bleach in your system. And bleach isn't going to just sit there and not have any effect. Bleach is going to kill you. And I want to be very frank with you this morning. Young person, hear me. Adults, listen to me. It'll kill you. Bitterness will kill you spiritually. It'll control you. It's going to move from bitterness to resentment. Resentment's going to move to retaliation. Years ago, I was counseling in a camp similar to this one. The preacher preached a message on this subject. One of the campers in my cabin went forward broken, weeping. Young man, about 16 years old. We went to the back of the auditorium where we were at. We sat down. We began to talk. He began to tell me, preacher, I have bitterness in my life towards my father. He said, in fact, before I left, I slid all four of my father's truck tires. I have a plan to murder my father. You see, bitterness isn't something that you control. Bitterness is something that controls you. Bitterness moves from resentment to retaliation to anger to evil speaking to violence, and as we learn in the life of Cain, ultimately to murder. Would you hear me this morning? Would you look diligently within? Is there bitterness in your life somewhere? does the silent killer reside, because it's going to grow and it's going to develop and it's going to control and it's going to dominate every facet of your life. It's going to affect you physically. There have been studies done about bitter people and how it affects their system internally, their physical body. When somebody has the spiritual silent killer in them of bitterness. Bitterness is banking on you remembering a record of wrongs. In fact, you begin to keep a record. Folks, I cannot tell you how many folks I've dealt with on this matter who have come into my office, whether a husband-wife relationship, whether a parent-child relationship, or some relationship in their life, and they have recorded the wrongs. And they are filed right up here. And when we talk, they come out one right after another because they have kept record, because bitterness keeps records. And it controls. And it controls this thing right here. And it controls this thing right here called your heart. Unforgiveness will flash at you. Knowing that that's the wrong thing to do. But bitterness will convince you it's the right thing to do. It will become a stronghold. Resentment will begin to say, I really don't like that person. I'm never going to forgive. It will add fuel to the fire of bitterness. Retaliation says, I'm going to get even. You're going to pay. You say, preacher, I'm not that far along. If you're not, be thankful, but deal with bitterness at the root this morning. A strong feeling of anger comes along. It starts to set in on your face. You know, the countenance of a man tells a lot. God looked down at the countenance of Cain and said, why art thou countenance fallen? You know, when I see a hard face on a teenager, when I see a hard face in the life of an adult, it's telling me something. It's telling me that there's anger and bitterness, and the silent killer is living and growing strong. How long have you been dealing with the silent killer? How far along is it in your life? It's possible somebody could be toward one of the end stages of hatred or violence or even murder. You know, our school shootings that happen more frequently in this country than what they ever should. You know what they're the result of? A young person that's been hurt. Real hurt in their lives. And they don't know how to deal with it. And so the way that they deal with it is ultimately violence and murder. You have it before you. You see it in action. We've had young people in our church that have been through situations like that in the school. In our own town. Because the silent killer resided, they didn't detect it. Nobody instructed them how to deal with it. And it took control. The consequences of bitterness, I give them to you quickly. Number one, it divides you from those you love and from those who love you. One of the terrible consequences of bitterness, hear me, young people, is that it divides you from the people you love and the people that you love and the people that love you. Hear me, you cannot receive love when you are bitter, and you cannot give love. Bitterness is a great divider. Your parents love you. Your spiritual leadership loves you. You know who the devil would love for you to get bitter at? The people that love you and the people that you love. You have to understand, bitterness is a divider. You let the silent killer reside. You let it continue to build up its fortress in your heart. And you're going to lose love in life. you're not going to have love relationships in life. And I'm not talking about that in a negative way. I'm talking about that in a good way. With the people that you should have love relationships with, your parents and your leaders. It deadens you to the Holy Spirit and the things of God. It's interesting in the context of let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking be put away from you that the verse before it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You want to maybe figure out why you can't hear God? Why you're sitting in services and other people, man, they're moving to the altar, they're talking about what God's dealing with them, and it's like you're deaf. You're not getting anything. I'll tell you why. The silent killer deadens the voice of the Holy Spirit. The silent killer shuts off relationship. It kills communication with God. And you can't figure it out. Other people are talking about this. Man, I wish I could talk about this. I wish it would be real to me like it's real to them. What's the problem? It could be that the problem is the silent killer's in you. And it's killing your relationship with the Holy Spirit to where you don't hear His voice. It deadens you to the Holy Spirit. It deceives you. Deception is a fruit of the root of bitterness. I've been amazed at the deception bitter people live with. Many times they cannot see it. I've already discussed this. They cannot see their own bitterness. I'm not bitter, preacher. They're bitter at me. It distances you from God. It destroys you. In our text in Hebrews chapter 12, the illustration given in connection with verse number 15 is found in verse number 16. The name of the man is a man by the name of Esau. You know the story of Esau. Esau gave his birthright up because he was hungry, right? For a bowl of soup. Jacob made the trade. Jacob got the birthright. Question, who did Esau get bitter at? Jacob. In fact, it got to the point where he wanted to kill him. Who is Esau ultimately bitter at? God, because all bitterness is directed at God. What does the Bible say about Esau in verse number 16? Lest thou be like Esau the fornicator. It goes through and it describes a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Watch this. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was a bitter man, and when he went to seek repentance, he could not find it. What's the Bible saying here? Bitterness destroyed him. Lest thou become like Esau. Deal with the silent killer. Lest it destroy your life. Lest you get to a point where you can't find your way back to God. Deal with bitterness. Identify the silent killer in your life. To murder his own brother. You see, bitterness leads you to make choices you would have never thought you would have made. Listen, I have watched young people grow up in our church, be under preaching and teaching, and of loving other Christians, and have completely gone agnostic or atheistic. You say, how, preacher, does it get there? I'll tell you how it gets there. It starts with bitterness. Something gets in the soul. And when it gets in the soul, that silent killer begins to spread and control until that person goes so far away from God not to even believe in God. Say, preacher, that couldn't happen to me. Yes, it could. And it could happen to me. All you got to do is let bitterness spring up. All you got to do is let a root grow. Listen, young people, there are young people today that grew up in churches just like yours and mine. Good, Bible-believing, sound churches that are on the internet trashing their churches and trashing their God. You know where it came from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a root that sprung up one day when a young person was hurt. And they didn't deal with it biblically. And it grew into resentment. And it grew into retaliation. And it grew into anger. And it grew into malice and evil speaking. And it grew into violence. to where their teeth are as swords today because bitterness was never dealt with. In closing, let me give you the cure because there's hope. There's a cure. Number one, release the offense and the offender through biblical forgiveness. Stop holding God in prison and stop holding the person that you have been hurt by in prison. Release it to the Lord. Now watch this. If you have the silent killer this morning, you know where the bitterness is at. I believe the Holy Spirit will mark it and mark it specifically. He'll mark the situation. He'll mark the individual. He'll mark the specifics of what needs to come out. And that needs to be released to the Lord. Listen, a miracle could take place this morning in someone's life. You could be freed if you would take the step of faith and say, Lord, I am releasing this unto you. It is not mine to hold any longer. I am going to forgive. I am going to release it. And Lord, I'm going to leave the judgment to you on the matter. Lord, I'm not going to hold on to it any longer. Now, what does that mean? That means a couple of things, young person. If you would do that this morning, you are making a decision not to allow your mind to dwell on that. That means when your mind comes up with that thought, which many times is a repetitive thought in that area, you stop it at the gate of your mind and say, my mind's not going there. I am not going to feast on junk that's going to feed the root. I am going to stop it. Number two, I'm not going to talk about it to anybody. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk to somebody else about it. I'm not going to rehash it over and over. I'm releasing it. I'm releasing it for good. And thirdly, I'm not going to hold it against that individual or God. I am going to release. Let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and malice be what? Be put away from you. You are divorcing yourself from it. You are making a clean break by choice and yieldedness to the scriptural principle of forgiveness. Young person, there's hope. A silent killer can be dealt with. God has a way of dealing with the silent killer. Number one, release the offense and the offender. Number two, renew your mind and action towards that individual. Say, preacher, where do you get that from? I get that from verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and malice be put away from you. And be ye what? Kind. One toward another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, the next thing that you need to do once you have released it, the next thing you need to do is you need to think of kindness to show towards that individual. I am now going to go on the offensive and I am going to be kind to this individual. I am going to do an act of kindness. I am going to send a gift in secret. I am going to show and give words of kindness. I'm going to write a letter of encouragement. I'm going to write down some things that I appreciate about that individual. Brethren, that is the biblical remedy. God said, be kind. See, bitterness won't let you be kind. That's why you have to release first. You have to root. You're not going to be there. I'm not going to let you there. Renew your mind. The first order of business is to release. The second order of business is to renew your mind. Often in marriage counseling, when I have a marriage relationship where two people have all kinds of negative thoughts against each other. They have records. You know what I instruct them to do? The first couple of weeks we work on writing down 25 things that you appreciate about your marriage partner. Because the mind has to be changed, and it can only be changed with renewal. Counselors, if you're going to work with somebody this morning, please walk through these truths again with them. If God deals with somebody on this thing. Thirdly, remind yourself of God's grace. They failed of the grace of God. Can I be honest with you this morning about your hurt? The pain and trouble you are experiencing is not a sign of the hatred of God. It is a sign of the love of God. Whatever pain you have experienced in your life, listen, God's not a mean God. God doesn't hate you. When God allows pain, He allows it, watch this, for three things. Write these things down. Number one, He allows it for His glory. It's really a test so that you can showcase God in your life. So you can showcase to others, you know what, I trust God. Joseph did that, didn't he? In the pit, in the prison, Joseph said, ye meant it unto me for evil, but what? God meant it unto me for good. The pain in your life, when you recognize God's grace, you'll understand it's for God's glory. Number two, you'll understand it's for your growth. Here is a right response to hurt. Lord, you have something to teach me. I want to be teachable. Lord, will you show me what I need to learn through this? Now watch this. That's a totally different aspect than, Lord, you hurt me. Then, Lord, you were wrong. Lord, this person is bullying me. And it's not right. When you focus on the grace of God, you say, Lord, teach me. Lord, you have something for me. You have growth in it. And watch this. God's glory, your growth, and others' good. You know why I went through the pain of losing my daughter? So that I could help others. So that I could help comfort others. Was it painful? Oh my. It was painful. But you know what? God grew us through it. God used it for others' good. You know what? We've been in contact with other people across the country that have lost children in a similar situation. You know what? God could get glory as long as we kept telling people, you know what? God's right and His way is perfect. And God, if I had nobody else to be with me in that time, I had God. God's glory, others' good, your growth. Focus on the grace of God. I believe that I'm speaking to young people, and some have been hurt. And it's deep. And when you think about it, it's painful. But I believe it's possible that there could be bitterness that has sprung up because of it. And I'm preaching a message that, to be honest with you, was not the message that I had picked to preach here. I was talking with Brother Ross the other night. I went home Saturday night from camp and I had a message that I was going to preach. And God said, nope, you're not going to preach that. You're going to preach this. I believe that God wants to do a miracle. Maybe a number of miracles this morning, but watch this. You're going to have to be honest and identify the silent killer. The evidence that's presented this morning. How has the Holy Spirit taken the evidence to your heart? Does the silent killer reside? And if it does, it can be dealt with this morning. And you can not only free the offender, you can free yourself. Because ultimately bitterness puts you in a prison. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young people, I'll be transparent with you today. I've had to deal with the silent killer in my life not once. I've had to deal with it repetitively. Because in my own life, it springs up. And I dare say if you were honest, you would have to testify of the same thing. Has it been springing up? in your life? Is there a cause? Are the clues true? Is it beginning to control? It's growing. It's grown into anger. It's grown into resentment. You don't like a certain individual. If that name's brought up, your mind runs to negative thoughts. Somebody that you don't like to be around because, fill in the blank, you got bleach in your body, your spiritual body, in your heart. The gall, the poison of bitterness is there. You know, if you drank a cup of bleach today, we'd be rushing you to the hospital. They'd be pumping out your stomach to hopefully save your life. This is not something to move beyond and say, ah, not that big a deal. It's a big deal. It's the silent killer. Not really going to ask for a raise of hands to begin this time. I'm going to ask for a move to the front. Because you need to deal with someone today. You need to pray with a counselor. You need to identify specifically what it is. You need to take the steps to release, renew your mind towards that individual. And you need to be reminded of the grace of God. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed as the pianist plays, would you move this morning if God has dealt with you, if God has pointed out the silent killer? Oh, listen. Don't go past the service. You're not dealing with this matter. It will destroy you. I promise you. Counselors, I want you to get with someone if you would. It's a serious matter. You can be a real help to a young person. Young people, be open today. It's a good day to be transparent before the Lord. It's a good thing, good day to talk something out. It's a good day to practice the principles that we talked about. There's help here. Take advantage of the help. In somebody's heart right now in the pew, somebody is battling. That is, truth has been presented, but for you to let go of something that has taken up resonance is hard. May I remind you that surrender is freedom. Your heart can be free this morning. Follow God. Let a miracle.